Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Lord said, "Woe to you, who build the memorials of the prophets whom your fathers killed. Consequently, you bear witness and give consent to the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them, and you do the building. Therefore, the wisdom of God has said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute, in order that this generation might be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the temple building. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be charged with their blood. Woe to you, scholars of the law! You have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you stopped those trying to enter.' When Jesus left, the scribes and the Pharisees began to act with hostility toward him and to interrogate him about many things, for they were plotting to catch him at something he might say." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Days we will mark what's called Reformation Day, the 500th anniversary of that time in which Martin Luther challenged the church authorities to answer 95 theses that he had, many of which were about the foundations of the faith, how we are justified, how we are initially saved by the Lord, how his life comes within ours. Because of the practice at the time, never the teaching, there were many who thought that they were saved by their own works, that they were saved by the indulgenced works that they did. And that Martin Luther was challenging. The World Lutheran Federation and the Catholic Church in 1999 signed a joint decree saying that there was never really a disagreement in theology here. It was a disagreement by the way people lived and by what some people believed. But today's first reading gets us into the heart of the matter, which is really important for us as Catholics to grasp with precision. As we get closer to this 500th anniversary, it will come up, and we need to be able to explain what we believe better than the Catholics did 5 centuries ago. How are we saved? Today, St. Paul says we're saved by God's grace through faith. That we are saved by God, in other words, because grace is our participation as creatures in the very life of God, in God. Grace isn't a thing. Grace is a relationship. We're saved by God through faith, that having received this gift of God himself, we respond by faith, which is more than a confession of the lips. It's by a confession of a life. Where do works fit in? We're not saved by ourselves, so we're not saved by our works. But two things. We are clearly judged by our works. Jesus will say that in Matthew 25, that those who go to his eternal left and those who go to his eternal right will be separated on the basis of whether they have loved him in the disguise of those who are hungry, thirsty, naked, a stranger, ill, or in prison, etc. That our works are essential to our judgment. To our justification, it always comes by God's free act. Second thing that we would say, and St. Paul would have always agreed with it, and he'll stress it throughout this letter to the Romans, but St. James focused on it considerably because of the misinterpretations even in the first century, that faith apart from works is dead. That if we've got this real faith in God's action in our life, we want to respond with the same love with which God has acted. And so faith works itself, as St. Paul will say in his letter to the Galatians, through love. And if it's not working out through love, it's not yet deep. It's not yet in correspondence to the total gift of self that God gives in justifying us. Now, why was St. Paul writing all of this? Because of the first century Jews in Rome, many of them had been infected by Pharisaical Christianity, what the scholars across the centuries have called Judaized Christianity, that in order to be a good Christian, we first need to be a good Jew. We first need to do all the works of law. Why? Because we can't be saved without doing the entirety of the Mosaic Law. St. Paul wrote this treatise to the church in Rome, which he hadn't yet visited. And in the first 8 chapters, he tries to describe, no, the soteriology, the means of salvation that the Pharisees think of, is false. That we are not saved by our ritual observance of the 613 commandments of the Mosaic Law. We are saved by God, who asks us to respond in kind by loving Him and by loving neighbor with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. That is the way that we are saved. Today's Gospel, we see just how corrupted the Pharisaical mentality was. Jesus, if we didn't have the Feast of St. Luke yesterday, would have been describing to us just how the Pharisees of his day were whitewashed sepulchres. On the outside, they seemed to be so religious, but in the inside, they were cemeteries. They were dead. They were filled with filth. And he went on today that on the outside, they honor the prophets, but their ancestors, by the same leaven, killed those prophets. And we know that the Pharisees, as they were observing the tiniest little dots of the law, were similarly plotting as a group to execute Jesus. So we need to pay attention to this and our own understanding of salvation. Are we truly grateful for God's action? Do we focus in our own day-to-day life more on God's grace or our own deeds? Do we recognize that our life is fundamentally a fiat, not, as I like to say, a faciam, a let it be done to me by God rather than an I will do? Do we see our moment, even in prayer, as the response, or do we see ourselves as the initiator with our own actions? Do we see that God is already there, that He's acting first, as Pope Francis likes to say, that God always acts with primeriar, this neologism in Spanish, which means He always makes the first move. He always gets there ahead. He Himself is acting before we even think it's our idea to do this good deed. It's a real revolution. And many of us still, when it comes to looking at our own deeds, can sometimes take too much credit and not give enough to the Lord. Sometimes, as he says with the Pharisees, we can strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. We can get so caught up in the littlest things of what we're doing that we forget about the gargantuan things that God is doing. Doing for us, doing in us, doing through us. Today the Church celebrates the feast of the intrepid North American martyrs who show us what real faith looks like and the love that it impels. These 8 Jesuits that we celebrate today are extraordinary heroes. Jean de Brebeuf was the first one here. 1625. He worked for over 3 years among the Hurons, and he didn't get one single convert. Just think about that. If you, as a sister of life, worked for 3 years, and no matter how hard you strived, you didn't actually concretely get to the result that you'd want with one woman. How discouraging that could be. And then in 1629, ownership of New France passed to England. So all the Jesuit missionaries from France needed to vacate. So for the next 4 years, he went home. He could have easily said, I have done my duty as a missionary trying to spread the faith. Now it's somebody else's turn. That soil is impenetrable for the sowing of the seed. But as soon as it had flipped back to France in 1633, Jean de Brebeuf was literally on the first boat back. He was going to give it another shot, carrying his canoe over mountains and using it in rivers. He started little by little to have some success. The second time he came, he was far more supernatural than the first, far more reliant on God's tilling the soil, God's given the growth, with seeing himself simply as the sower. He began to have some success until the Iroquois raided his Huron village and then tortured him in probably the worst torture that any martyr has ever suffered. And I'll save you the grueling details. But at the very end of the whole thing, they wanted to rip out his heart while it was still beating, to drink his blood, because they had never seen a heart so valiant. Isaac Jogues arrived on that second. He was here on the first wave, a little bit after Jean de Brebeuf, and he had suffered by the same Iroquois who had chopped off his fingers after enslaving him. He'd gone back to France somewhat as a hero, but mostly he was pitied for the way that he had suffered. He needed a special decree by the Pope at the time to celebrate Mass, because the rubrics say you're supposed to hold Jesus in the Eucharist in your fingertips, and he didn't have fingertips because they had chopped them off. And the Pope said, how can I prevent from holding the blood of Christ, a would-be martyr willing to give his blood for that Christ? But as soon as there was an opportunity to return, Isaac Jogues returned. As he was entering a Mohawk village in Henrysville, here in this state, he was tomahawked to death. This type of faith that flowed through works, the most beautiful works of all, extraordinary love for God and extraordinary love for people who were considered savages, who were threatening to kill, and not just kill, but kill in the most gruesome ways those who were trying to give them the greatest grace of their life. Their example shows us how in the little things to respond to God's help to give more. Today as we come forward, we give God thanks that we have our fingers, that we have our skin, that we have our heart, but mostly that we have God's extraordinary grace. Every Mass he seeks to solidify that grace-filled act of our sanctification. And in response to this gracious act of God, the Church gives one big Amen, which is an echo of Mary's fiat, as St. John Paul II used to stress. The word Amen is a verb, which means to uphold. And when we say it to a prayer, or when we say it to those most beautiful words, the body of Christ, we are saying that we want that gift to be the real foundation, the real structure of everything we are and do. Jesus in the Eucharist is the source and the summit of the Christian life, because it's the grace, his giving himself is the grace at the beginning of our life, the beginning of our day, the beginning of our Christian action. And it's also the goal. It's responding to that that we become fully alive. We are saved by grace through faith, working through love. Let us ask the Lord through the intercession of the North American martyrs to increase our faith, now and always. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.